They understand that one day they will look up and be unable to see the Virgin Mary blue of this sky.
Recall the one who walked in evening mist, water outstretched blue, his hand an aperture of light.
If society collapses by means other than nuclear attack, we'll have access to fresh water, he said. And provided the flora and fauna aren't radioactive, we can gather edible plants and hunt for squirrels. Tastes just like chicken.
I think it is an act of faith showing up to a blank page. It really reminds me of Genesis 1, where, you know, the spirit's hovering above the waters.
Welcome to a new season of the Vita Poetica Journal podcast. We're an online journal featuring creative work explored through a spiritual lens and a publication of the Vita Poetica Arts and Faith Collective. The journal consists of
John Morris, co-editor-in-chief.
Caroline Langston, co-editor-in-chief.
Maggie Swafford, poetry editor.
Nikki Sheffield, visual arts editor.
Emily Chambers, Sharp Interviews Editor.
Darby Brown, Assistant Interviews Editor.
Samir Knego, Contemplative Practices Editor.
Katie Fisher, Prose Reader.
Emma Russell, Editorial Assistant.
And I'm Julie Wan, Managing Editor of the Journal.
Now here's co-editor Caroline Langston to introduce our summer 2023 issue. This is her editorial letter, Forces of Endurance.
Apocalypse certainly seems like an appropriate word for the world we're living in this summer. Yesterday, the heat in Phoenix crested to 118 degrees, but an entire swath of the southern United States has been remarkably oppressive for weeks. Floods have cratered asphalt roads in Placid, Vermont, and the gun violence rates in major U.S. cities continue to ascend, if, thank God, not quite to 1970s levels. Now, Francis Ford Coppola's Apocalypse Now is one of my all-time favorite films, and apocalypse used to be the kind of word you could bring up in conversation and sound intellectual, but which nobody really took all that seriously. Not anymore. During the last couple of years, I've noticed increasing citations of the word in the cultural press, and not just from conservatives either. All these citations have taken pains to emphasize that the word apocalypse is not merely a synonym for the end of the world, but is technically defined as a kind of unveiling. This edition of Vita Poetica seems to take both definitions of the word, the popular and the technical, in equal measure. The selections herein are indeed preoccupied with the kinds of themes that suffuse our news, both climate catastrophe and the threats, whether real or imagined, of political violence. They also explore vividly what is revealed about the hearts and minds portrayed in them. Emily Versteeg's haunting short story Shelter, for example, tracks a group of young boys fascinated with the survivalist preparations of their classmate's father, a local fundamentalist doctor named Reason Jones. He's determined to survive the end of the world, but the real question of the story concerns the enduring effect of those preparations on the boys, and in particular on the doctor's son, Reason Jr. In Jack Stewart's poem, A Synoblepsia, Inability to See the Color Blue, we are told, the sybaritic retirees who have fled to Miami, shirking the more traditional forms of religious asceticism for a kind of eternal youth, uncomfortably find out that being witness to a changing climate is its own kind of crucifixion. And whatever their stance toward religion, they generally all also consider the metaphysical dimensions of these emergent times. If I had to trace a through line through all the works of this edition, it would be the theme of endurance, of the individual's moral reflection on how to move through these apocalyptic times. Philip Agian's poem Jurisdiction examines the seeming weakness of the concept of justice, as demonstrated in Pierre-Paul Proudhon's post-French Revolutionary painting, Justice and Divine Vengeance Pursuing Crime. But neither are they overly theoretical or humorless either. I'm open to God, but I don't like capitalizing on God. I mean, I'll open the door to the Jehovah's Witnesses, but I won't let them dominate the conversation. Notes the old-time freethinker narrator of Paul Ostofsky's poem Open. The narrator manages to be at the same time obnoxious, funny, and forbearing, both with his unwanted Jehovah's Witness callers and with himself. There's still also the question of how do we endure, both physically and metaphysically. One of our contemplative practice features for this edition, Rebecca Vickery's A Blessing for Your Breath, can provide a map to be both in your body and at the same time transcend it. Navigating disaster is, in the end, an opportunity to find hidden strength and as yet unrevealed joys. You'll see that everywhere in this edition. Enjoy. Selah.
We hope you'll tune in next week for the first episode of our new season. And as usual, we'll have new episodes up every Tuesday and Friday. Don't forget, you can always go to our website, vitapoetica.org, to listen to these readings as standalone pieces, as well as to stream the audio version of the whole issue. You'll have to tune into the podcast, though, to hear the authors introduce themselves and their pieces. And as always, the website is where you can learn more about us, find details on how to submit to the journal, and sign up to receive our email newsletter for announcements, events, and other news. Thanks for listening, and more soon.